you're seated, can you give this music and this tech team just a round of applause for leading us? Man, it is awesome week in and a week out. Thank you for the time you put in midweek and the morning of, and just for leading us well. Well, my name's Austin. I'm on the team here, and I am so thankful to be a member of this church. And I'm really thankful for the emphasis that we put on families as a church. You know, for most of the weeks throughout the year, we've got kind of curated experiences for our students, which is our investment into students to say, hey, we want to help you catch the gospel in a way that's curated just for you. On the other side, we also enjoy doing family services where as families, we get to sing together, hear God's word together, take communion together, respond together. And this morning, you might notice that some of our families are, they're missing this morning. Many are present, but we've got a host of families that have gone to Mount Hermon this morning for family camp. And we put an emphasis on this about late summer, early fall of each year for the next summer as a way to invite families to say, hey, man, if you've got the bandwidth and you've got the space and you've got the ability, carving out this week at Mount Hermon with other families from the church and other families from all over the region and some from all over the nation is a great investment into your family. And so if you're a family here and you're looking for, hey, where are some of those other families I'm used to seeing? They're at Mount Hermon this week. And I want to encourage you, later this summer, early fall, we'll be promoting for the next summer an opportunity to try and get on that list ASAP to join families that go to Mount Hermon every year. And so with that being said, whether you've been here for 30 minutes or you're one of the families that's been here for 30 years, we're simply a church with a vision of a Los Angeles in which every single person has experienced the life-changing power of the gospel. And so on Sunday mornings and all throughout the week, we want to make sure that Jesus is the center of everything that we do. We want to know Jesus better in the way that we serve, in the way that we sing, in the way that we fellowship with one another. And we think that as we keep Jesus the center, we'll begin to grow in faith. We'll grow in our trust and our allegiance in Jesus. And as we do that, he begins to change us from the inside out. We become the kinds of people that are equipped to go serve the world, those in our homes, those in our neighborhoods, those in our workplaces. So this morning, we want to make a big deal of Jesus, but we're also kicking off about a five-week Summer of Psalms series. The dream would be that eventually our church would teach through all 150 psalms. So just to put that in perspective, that'll take about 150 weeks over the course of about 30 years. So if you're with us for 30 years, buckle in. We got the Summer of Psalms coming up. With that being said, when we lean into the Psalms, we're essentially leaning into songs that God's people wrote to glorify God and to encourage one another, to remember the story of God with his people. And so it's theology and it's stories put to music. And so this morning, as we kick off our Summer of Psalms series, I thought it would be helpful just to start with Psalm number one. And as the psalmist writes in Psalm number one, he makes it really clear as to why he's writing. He's writing that God's people might be blessed. That word for blessed is that idea of happy. And so this morning we'll be in Psalm chapter one. If you have your digital Bible or your analog Bible, you can turn to Psalm chapter one. And we're going to hit five beats briefly this morning. And we'll close at the table with communion and worship. But in Psalm number one, and these are on the sheets for the students as well, the psalmist is going to talk about God's people standing with the righteous, God's people staying in Scripture, God's people staying by the stream, God's people staying stable, and God's people staying seen. God's people stand with the righteous, and they stay in Scripture, they stay in the stream, they stay stable, and they stay seen. And I want to start with this. I'm finally at the age, coming up, about to be over the hill, where I've seen the way over the past several decades, I've had the opportunity to see how various friendship circles have shaken out over the years. As you're developing friends in a friendship circle, you're not quite sure how it's going to end, but when you get 20 years out and you look back, you begin to see the effect these friendship circles have had on folks. In fact, as I reflect on some of the friends and people that I knew in school, even in high school, some of those folks made friends with folks that weren't making the best decisions. And as a result, they didn't make the best decisions. And those kind of poor decisions they've made have led them to a place where they're not in the position in life they want to be. On the same token, those that really were intentional about making friends with folks that were making good decisions, it helped them to make good decisions, and they're finding themselves a couple decades later in a spot they were kind of a bit closer to where they were hoping their life would be. There's that old phrase that might ring true. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. The psalmist is making a similar point in Psalm 1, verse 1. And our point here is God's people stand with the righteous. If you're a student filling out the worksheet, God's people stand with the righteous. It says this, blessed. Blessed, again, is simply happy. God's favor on you. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, those who are making bad decisions, or stand in the way of sinners, or take their seat in the company of mockers. The psalmist is saying, if you want to live a blessed, happy life, avoid spending excessive amounts of time around people that are making bad decisions, around people that are not acknowledging God, around people that aren't making God's word kind of the North Star for their life. So if you were to use the opposite of this, the opposite would be true. Not only are those folks happy that don't do that, blessed and happy are those who stand and stay with the upright, those who are making good decisions. Happy are those who stand with the righteous, and happy are those who sit in the company of sages, the wise, those who are making Scripture their North Star. In other words, the psalmist wants you to know, if you want to live a happy life, don't hang out with knuckleheads. Even online, there's a proverb floating around that'll say something to the effect of, if you have five friends that are in a ton of debt, you're going to be the sixth one. If you got five friends that are taking their fitness seriously, you're going to be the sixth one. If you got five friends that are making good decisions, you're going to be the sixth one. It's simply another way of saying, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Simply another way of hang out with those that are seeking God, who are making Scripture their North Star, who are trying to make wise, good, righteous decisions. And so I want to encourage you with this. If you want to live a blessed life before the Lord, if you want to live a happy life, stand and stay with the righteous. Men, make friends with other men that are being good at being men, that are seeking to put God at the center, that are seeking to make wise decisions. Women, make friends with other women that are good at being godly women, putting Scripture as their North Star and seeking to make wise decisions. Students, we even put a little prop in your box. It was a little pair of shoes to symbolize to stand with the righteous, to walk with the righteous. If you are a student in the room, if you want to live a blessed, happy life, seek out friends that inspire you to be better. Seek out friends that inspire you to make better decisions. Seek out friends that inspire you to put God's word as your North Star at the center of your life. I want to encourage you as you go through this week, you can make one of your prayers this week. Lord, help me to stay in step with the righteous. Lord, help me to walk with the upright. Lord, help me to make friends with those who are wise that I might be wise myself. And so a good question to ponder this week as you reflect on this scripture, who are you staying in step with? Who are you standing and sitting with? The wicked, the unrighteous, and the unwise, or those that are pursuing God, making good decisions and seeking wisdom. So our first point is, God's people, if they want to be happy and blessed, they stand with the righteous. This is our second point. God's people stay in Scripture. The psalmist says, blessed is the one who not only avoids these people, but whose delight, their joy, their pleasure is in the law of the Lord. And watch this, they meditate on his law day and night. That idea of delight is this idea of being satisfied in God's word, satisfied with his wisdom for your life. And he says, not only should you read this wisdom, but you should meditate on it. Strong's Theological Dictionary, when it talks about meditation, it talks about this idea of this low growl, the purr of a cat, this idea of uttering, speaking softly under your breath. A modern translation of this idea of growling, purring, and speaking under your breath might be this idea of chewing gum. I'm a big gum chewer, and you've probably heard the phrase, you can walk and chew gum at the same time. The same thing would ring true for God's people. It's this idea of reading Scripture and then getting it in your mouth and chewing on it, mulling over it, growling over it, kind of uttering it under your breath as you go. It's this idea that it's not the kind of thing that only happens when you're in your prayer chair in your living room or in your prayer closet in your bedroom, but it's the kind of thing you can do as you're commuting to work. It's the kind of thing you can do as you shuffle from your office to the Keurig in your office. It's the kind of thing you can do as you walk from your car to your student's athletic event. It's the kind of thing as a student you can do kind of walking from class to class. You can have God's word in your mouth kind of meditating over it day and night. Because what we learn about God's word is actually really helpful for us. In fact, most laws are designed to be good for us. There are speed limit laws on the road to make sure that traffic is kind of flowing at the same pace to avoid and eliminate accidents. Some general rules of thumb, such as, you know, hey, eat whole foods and don't eat processed sugar and try and be active every day instead of sedentary. Those things are designed just to, you know, to not get us on the cover of a fitness magazine, but just to kind of keep us healthy. There's this idea that laws are designed to keep us in a good spot, to keep us in the sweet spot of life. And the same thing is true for God's law. God's law is good, and it's helpful. And the psalmist would say that it increases our happiness to meditate on God's law. This is a quote from John Wesley as he talks about this idea of kind of meditating throughout his day, not just a spiritual thing he did in the morning before work, but that he did all day long. This is John Wesley. He's talking about the kind of person that meditates. He's talking about that person in third person. He says, this kind of person's heart is ever, always lifted up to God at all times and in all places. In the home, in the car, in the workplace, in the classroom, at the sporting event. In this, he says, he's never hindered, much less is he interrupted by any person or thing, in retirement, by himself, or with company, in leisure, or doing the business of every day, or conversation. His heart is ever with the Lord, in the gaps in between, just muttering and speaking and chewing on God's word. Whether he lied down or rises up, God is in all his thoughts. It says he walks with God continually. If you want to walk with God continually, learn to meditate on his word, which is not a thing that monks do in the quiet. It is a thing that we do as we're in traffic on the 10 freeway. It's what we do when we're walking from meeting to meeting in the office. It's that thing we do when we're standing in the lunch line at school. There are all of these places, these gaps where we begin to meditate on God's word. We chew on it. We growl over it. We purr over it. We utter it under our breath so we may be continually with God. So this might be a prayer for you. Lord, help me to find joy in your law. Help me to find delight in your law. Help me to meditate on it day and night and all of the time in between. So throughout the day, are you meditating on social media? Or are you meditating on God's word? Are you meditating on your worry? Or are you meditating on God's word? Are you meditating on your busyness and your schedule and your to-do list? Or are you meditating on God's word? So I encourage you, be blessed, be happy, stay in Scripture. If you're filling out the worksheet, that's point number two. God's people stay in Scripture. This is point number three. God's people stay in the stream. And the psalmist talks about this person that delights in God's word. He says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Prospers, this idea of to be profitable, to have a successful outcome, to take ground, to move forward. The idea of this in Scripture is to have God's favor and favorable outcome over your life. Right now, I'm getting a favorable outcome in my front yard. If your front yard is like mine and I've got four or five neighbors, all of our grass is dead. It's brown and it does not look good. And I thought to myself, man, all four, you know, we've all got this brown, dead grass. I think I've got a water hose. I think I can make this green. And so on the appropriate days, at the appropriate times, begin to water my lawn. And after a week or two, I'm looking at this row of 4 yards, and there's three that are brown. There's one that's semi-green. It's the one that's next to the water hose. The psalmist is making a similar point here. He says, man, the one who meditates on God's law is like a tree by a stream or like grass next to a water hose. If you want to prosper in everything that you do, get in God's stream. Get into his word. Soak under the Scriptures. I used to have a pastor that used to use this phrase. He would say, in the Christian life, you've got to get under the spout where the grace comes out. And that's that idea of getting in God's word, muttering over it, growling over it, putting it in your mouth all the time so you can be like a tree by the water, like grass by a water hose, under the spout where the grace comes out. Joshua 1 verse 8 kind of says a similar thing that Psalm chapter 1 verse 3 verses 1 through 3 is saying. He says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it, chew on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then your way will prosper. Then you will have good success. There's something about God's word that keeps us ever green, that keeps us in faith, that keeps us in the way of wisdom, that makes our life happy and blessed, joyful and prosperous. So are you living in confidence right now that your life is in fact by the stream when you are in God's word? Are you grasped by the water hose? Are you getting under the spout where God's goodness comes out? And so if you're a student with one of the worksheets, the third point is God's people stay in the stream. This is point number four. God's people stay stable. When the psalmist is writing this, he says, those that don't stay in God's word, their outcome is not great. Verse 4 says, they are like chaff, that is, that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. That idea of chaff is that idea of excess straw that gets blown away. It's kind of this, it's like if you mowed your grass and you have all the extra trimmings of grass. If the wind blows hard, that stuff blows everywhere. In other words, those that are not rooted in God's word, those that are not meditating on his law day and night, they tend to be blown by the wind to and fro. Their life isn't stable. The psalmist wants God's people to be the opposite of that, to live a life that's stable, strong, rooted in God's word. This comes from James. And James is speaking to a local church, and he's telling the church to avoid being double-minded, or else you get blown to and fro. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you lacks people that are helping you make good decisions, let him ask God, because God gives generously to all without reproach, for not making them feel bad. And this wisdom, it'll be given to you. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord if he is double-minded, if he's unstable, if he's not making God's word not just a supplement to his wisdom, but his wisdom, the anchor to his wisdom. When we meditate on God's word, it keeps us single-minded. It keeps us steady. It gives us wisdom that acts like an anchor. When things feel uncertain at work, we can trust the wisdom of God for the workplace. When things feel uncertain in our finances, we can trust the wisdom of God for our finances. When things feel chaotic at home and we are raising kids, we can trust God's wisdom for raising kids. Students, when things feel wonky at school, we can trust God's steady hand over your lives. It's a good thing to be anchored. It's a good thing to be steady. It's a good thing to be single-minded. It's actually the way to joy and to happiness and to being blessed, is to be anchored on God's word. It's a good prayer to pray. Lord, make me stable. Make me single-minded. Make me rooted in your word. So students, if you're filling out the worksheet, that fourth point is God's people stay stable. And this is the fifth and final point. I love this. God's people are seen. God's people stay seen. This is verse 6 of Psalm chapter 1. Watch this. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. It is so important to note that that word for watches is not a, it's not a passive word the way that somebody would watch a TV show or watch a movie or people watch at the airport. This idea for watches, it's kind of this active word to watch, which is I'm watching and I'm ready to intervene at any moment. The Lord watches actively over the way of the righteous, but the wicked, they just kind of stumble off into destruction. Reminds me of my dog when he's on a leash. I've got this golden retriever. He's too happy. That's the problem with the dog. He's too happy, and he just kind of trusts everything and everybody. And he just kind of trots down, you know, every sidewalk, kind of making his way with this big old smile on his face, not knowing that, you know, around the corner may be a dog that doesn't like other dogs, or, you know, across the street, there may be a car coming that dog needs to avoid, etc. And so when I'm walking my dog, he's just playfully, joyfully walking on the sidewalk, but I'm watching over my dog by looking under that table. Is there a dog? Kind of pulling him back when we're crossing the street. Is there a car coming? Hey, going across, is there somebody that doesn't want to say hi to my dog? Because my dog will say hi to every single person. And so when I watch over my dog, I'm not just watching my dog and allowing him to go wherever he wants and to do whatever he wants. I'm actively watching over my dog to make sure he doesn't get hit by a car. The psalmist wants you to know God is trying to make sure you don't get hit by a car. He's actively watching over you, actively watching over those that make God's word the center of their life. This is Psalm chapter 121, verses 5 through 8. The Lord actively watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch. There's that word again. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch. There it is again. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Church, this is good news.
that God doesn't passively watch us, doesn't passively just kind of check in to see what's going on, but he actively watches us, actively guards against things that might come against our life, actively putting a hedge of protection around us. So this is a great prayer to pray throughout your day. Lord, thank you that you watch over me. Lord, thank you that you actively see me. I love that call to worship this morning. Thank you that you are present with me. Not the occasional check-in, but the active presence of God with us. And so if you're a student, you've got your fill in the blank. The final blank is God's people stay seen, watched over by God. So I'm going to invite the music team up as we kind of close this morning with communion. I want to invite the people that are serving communion as well to go ahead and come on up. But here's the reality when we reflect on Psalm chapter 1, is that we are creatures created by God, and we have just wildly failed in all of these ways. We have not avoided the wicked. We have excessively sat with those that mock God and make poor decisions. We have not made God's law the delight and the joy and the anchor and the North Star of our lives. We have not been single-minded, but we've been like ships tossed to and fro, as James says, double-minded and unstable. We've not stayed by the satisfying stream of God's word for our lives, but we have run to social media influencers. We've run to those that don't acknowledge God, and we've run to those that aren't walking in the way of wisdom, and we've lived most of our life as if God doesn't have us in his hands, as if God doesn't actively see us, as if God does not actively protect us. But when we reflect on Christ, we recognize that in all of these ways, he succeeded. He modeled righteousness. He modeled the blessed life. All throughout Scripture, we see Christ meditating on God's law, even up to the point where he is on the cross, meditating on the Psalms, speaking them as he's hanging on the cross, reflecting over them, growling, purring, uttering them even on the cross. Christ modeled what it means to be stable and single-minded, being satisfied by God and knowing that God sees him. Through God's design, that one, that Christ, who knew no sin, who lived happy, blessed, and righteous, he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God, that we might, in fact, be blessed, joyful, live the good life. So by God's invitation, your sin can be forgiven. You can become the righteousness of God through Christ. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Don't follow in the steps of the wicked, but follow in the steps of Jesus. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. There was no mocking going on. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul.